Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Enter the Maelstrom podcast with your boy, Humble. And as always, I'm joined by Disney Lorcana's sweetheart, Xenulos, my other faithful co-host. And we have another familiar face coming at you this time in the form of R.M. Bald, the bald one himself, a.k.a. the Return of the Bald, a.k.a. The Chosen Bald. Coming fresh off of a Charlie's CCS weekend, boys, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic, personally. I mean, melee math sucks sometimes, but what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that 6-2 wasn't good enough for cash was pretty rough. But, I mean, we kind of expect that from the Charlie's tournaments at this point, right? There's going to be a lot of people, and to cut the straight-up top 8 is kind of sometimes kind of rough.
No, I mean, it was for sure rough for me.
Great. I think I might have, like, a little case of the con crud. I don't know if it was, like, just the amount of people that were there or if it was Sasuke coughing in my face all weekend, but, like, your boy's throat is, like,
it could also
not feeling good.
Now, it could also be the fact that you rolled the window down every time you got in a car and just breathed all of Atlanta in access going, you know, 60-plus miles an hour for 4 days.
Well, it was either that or I throw up in your lap, so you choose.
I mean, whichever one. I mean, it looks like either way my boy was going to be sick, so there's nothing I could have done about it. But yeah, you kind of do get sick every time we go to an event,
dude. Every single time, man. I don't know what it is. Dude, I'm telling you, man. I've been coughing all day. My throat hurts. Like I'm like phlegm. It's the con crud's real.
I think what got you is when you kissed Mo. I think the dare is what got you.
Was it the first or the second time?
It was the second time for sure.
Yeah, we need to go check on Mo, make sure he's not sick.
Actually, yeah, right?
Like, maybe you should just invest in, like, Airborne. Or maybe to take some vitamins prior to the con, you know.
Pull a wonder, like wear a mask everywhere.
No, when we went to the, what was the name of that? What was the name of that first place that we went to that was right across from the aquarium?
Southern Kitchen.
It was Atlanta Breakfast Club.
That's what it was, yeah.
Like, I, like, contemplated, like, getting orange juice as a way to just, like, kind of, like, juice the vitamin C in my body. And I, like, thought about it. Was like, yeah, like, I want to do that. And then they were, like, $6 for a little bottle of some orange juice. And I was like, oh, I'm just kidding. But, like, I should have just did it. I should have just ripped off the orange juice.
Yeah, I mean, like, that food was good, though. So, like,
it was very good.
I'm not mad that it was $6 for an orange juice because, like, I paid, like, $30 and I got this thing called a Georgia peach. And it was one of the most insane things I've ever eaten in my life.
It was way bigger than I thought it was going to be. The peaches were fantastic. The syrup was fantastic. The chicken was even better.
Yeah, chicken was actually really good.
I got the dirty birdie.
Yeah, you did.
I got the dirty birdie, so it had like the like black pepper gravy. And dude, our server, his name was like Suwu. Dude, he was like, hey, you like spicy? I was like, yeah. He's like, try our hot sauce. And I like tasted. I was like, yo, this. I dumped the whole thing over my entire plate. It was so good.
Yeah, no, our server was actually really good too. Shout out that guy. Shout out that entire restaurant. Actually, the entire restaurant. We foolishly thought that we wouldn't have a wait at noon on a Friday. We waited an hour and a half in the sun, and it was worth it. Like I'm not gonna lie. Like I, after about 48 minutes, I was like, can we just go anywhere else? But we stuck it out. We waited the whole time, and I was really, really impressed. It was really good.
No, I think it was absolutely worth the wait. I don't know. Like I saw the online things about it and like all the ratings they were having, and they were good. But you never really know if a place like that is just going to be overhyped or if it's actually going to be worth your time. But 1000%, if you're in Atlanta and you have a chance to go, you should go.
Speaking of hype environments, like hype restaurants, we tested at a place called Battle and Brews, and that place was really cool. That place was, the food wasn't bad. The food was pretty decent for, what I expected. Like I was expecting on par with like Dave and Buster's type food, and it was a way better than what I expected it to be. And then there's like the environment, the games, like we just like literally like rented a table for like 2.5 hours and just like ate and did some test games, got some good knowledge. Made some final tweaks to the list, which turned out to be extremely good.
Decided whether or not Scrooge or Tala was better.
Tala was the better call.
In our context, yes.
And yeah. In the list that you guys were on, yes, Tala was better. However, I, like, in retrospect after the weekend, because Your boy popped his ruby cherry this weekend and registered a ruby deck in the Sunday side event. I, for one, like moving forward after this weekend, will be playing Scrooge, and I will also be playing like 3 to 4 Vitalispheres to like help enable the Scrooge as well as be additional like Hyrum fodder and like just not get got. Like the only things I got by all weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, I all 4 losses were to locations, all 4 of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I actually did not have that same experience. I got by something even more wild and out there and not fun. Ink Geyser. I got by Ink Geyser in round 3. I don't, to this day, like I even had to talk to my opponent after the fact, like getting ink, like Claribel, like big Claribel, then Ink Geyser. This was like the sequence of turns. He like shifted like big Claribel or like hard cast big Claribel. I was like, okay, you draw 3 cards. That's like not fun, but like whatever. Then he plays Ink Geyser. So then like his Claribel draws him like 7 cards. Because I was at like 8 ink. And then he then like uses 2 fishbone quills, inks for turn, plays Bend of My Will. I was like, sick. And then on the following turn, after I like, because I kind of figured Bend of My Will was coming, so I like used my turn to run out a bunch of like dudes so I could just, you know, kind of turn sideways. So he just played Under the Sea. I was like, I don't know how your deck is supporting all of this. However, you did get me and I Am the Fool. Into the round 4, the card that, like, mind you, okay, I bricked, right? My hand was like triple big Sisu dime with no items for Hyrum to draw cards. Like I was not doing good. I was doing even worse after my opponent played a Prince Philip, like the warded 2 quester. I was like, okay, I can't really do anything about this, but like, I'm still like, okay, he's not turning it sideways for some reason because I had like a Kuzco on board. And then like, I finally am getting froggy. I'm really behind. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like turn sideways to my Kuzco, like take out one of your threats. And he goes, okay, I'm going to have my Pete sing Let the Storm Rage On in your Hyrum. I was like, sure, okay. He goes, I'm going to shift big Prince Philip. And then, if you're not familiar, that card banishes everything on your opponent's side of the field with damage on it. It also quests for 3. That card also has evasive.
Get wrecked, nerd.
Yeah, I was just, I got destroyed. I did. I will say that like every meta deck, like I've played blue steel 4 times and I played red blue 3 times and none of those games were remotely close. I felt like our list was very well positioned into the perceived field that we were targeting specifically. And I just, as c'est la vie, right? As is tradition, I got by the one guy that was just like, you see this card, you just very well positioned in your meta. So like that guy got me, but it is what it is. And how was your run?
I mean, as good as it could have been, honestly. I paired into Kendall round 1. So immediately was like, come on, really? Can't start off the day on a harder note. And then we do the dice roll. I lose the die roll. So I'm on the draw against, no, I'm not. And I'm like, cool, this is great. How I wanted the day to start. But I ended up taking it in the 3rd game. It was very, very close. Like literally just came down to a couple of interactions or him needing like 1 extra card. But as soon as that round was over, I just kind of had like the confidence boost of like, oh, not only is the list working, but like, clearly I have the skill today to just navigate what I need to. Then proceeded for 7 of my 9 rounds to play into Sapphire Steel and Amber Steel. Did not lose to Sapphire Steel once, did not lose to Amber Steel once, 2-0'd the majority of them. The only round I lost was to a Ruby Sapphire Mirror. Again, just like a really, really close game 3. I needed either 1 more lore or 1 more card, and I would have won. Ended the day with a 7-win, 1-loss, 1-draw record. It was an unintentional draw. We went the time. I don't blame my opponent for it. He was playing in pretty good pace, and so was I. It was just grueling games. And then Melee Math got me. Ended up in 10th instead of top 8. can't
That's
do.
That's crazy, dude. 7-1-1 and not ending up in Top Cut is just like, and to like think that not one but two people bubbled out at 7-1-1.
Yeah, ninth and tenth. That's the other guy. 7-1-1.
That's the rough part. Like when I took the loss round four, I was like, "Well, I'm dead. Like I can't top eight anymore." But I was like, "Maybe I'm still alive for cash." Went X2 and got like 40th place. No, no, sorry, I went X3 because I did drop a game, a very close game to Sapphire Steel Diggy Diggy Hole, where on the final turn of the game, she's at 19. She plays the Lawrence, and I'm looking at my hand of like my board is stacked. I'm like able to check most of her threats. She had Lilo's recurring. I had a Maui on board that I was just able to freely check everything she was doing. my hand is just a baby CCU. I needed her to, if she played anything other than exactly a Lawrence, I likely win the game because I clear that as well. And I'm questing for five a turn, and I was already like 11. And then it was Lawrence. The top card of my deck was not Brawl or Big Sisu, so or a way to find one of those cards. So I very quickly lost. But c'est la vie. That's what it is. Like you put those cards in your deck to try to get around the thing your opponent's doing, and like it got me.
I mean, I think in general the list that you and I ran on Saturday was, I mean, it was very well positioned. It did the thing that we wanted to do, which was beat Sapphire Steel and beat the things that beat Sapphire Steel. I think
the Sapphire Steel matchup was free. Anytime my opponents would like ink a steel card, I'd be like, okay, here, this game's over.
I played over the weekend five different Sapphire Steel players on four different variations of the deck. And the only one that was close was against Kendall.
Well, yeah, it's Kendall.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have the tools to shut down everything the deck was trying to do. I played into two different versions of Kiwi, and one that was, like, really location-heavy and, like, played, like, to his credit, was playing really well to protect his locations and, like, stop me from having the characters to just out them. And I still was just able to like shift Sisu, play Maui, your location's dead.
So we obviously played Ruby Sapphire, Ryan. How was your day one experience? What was your main event like? What did you play?
I played Sapphire Steel.
Shocker! Oh my god, guys. Wow.
I played Sapphire Steel. I played my workshop build. I think the deck list was like good. So round one, I pair into Tau Man Purple. Like the crazy thing is, like, Logan pairs into Kendall, and, like, I pair into Tau Man. It's like, bro, there's 320 people in this room, and, like, we're just, like, pairing into, like, our best friends round one. Like, someone help me understand how this happens.
It wasn't me this time. That's all I care about.
So I played four homies between Saturday and Sunday. Four.
Yeah.
In rooms with hundreds of people. So I play against Manny round one. I lost the dice roll. I lost game one on the draw, won game two on the play, lost game three on the draw, like 80% of matches of Disney Lorcana. I got absolutely steamrolled by Rapunzel's Tower. Just like could not out Rapunzel's Tower. He had Rapunzel's Tower in play, which has 8 willpower. And then he had 2 daisies and 2 Lawrence at Rapunzel's Tower. So they were 1-7s and 4-7s for a total of 36 willpower in their deck. And I made a very specific decision this weekend to play Fire the Cannons over Let the Storm Rage On, because I anticipated Emerald Steel was going to be like a big contender this weekend. I thought it was going to show up in like numbers, and like that's what I had anticipated. So like, I decided to like try Fire the Cannons to have an answer that doesn't get removed by the turn to Ursula into shift Diablo, because I just didn't want to lose to Diablo. Like, I just really don't like that card. I don't like the design of that card. Like, if it exists, like I want to banish it. Like, I don't want the card to be on my opponent's side of the board literally ever. So so I'm sitting there with like Fire the Cannons in my hand, like, yeah, I can deal 2 damage. And my opponent just has 36 willpower in play. And I was like, yeah, dude, you got it, man. Like, you absolutely got it. So, like, I lose to Manny round one, 1-2. I win the next two rounds, 2-0. One of them was Purple Steel, like the fast aggro deck. It had, like, Maleficence. Fire the Cannons was huge there.
Yeah, you just eat that.
Yeah. I chomped on that. So like I win the dice roll, I go turn one bell, turn two sail, fire.
What was that? What was that first thing you said?
Turn one bell.
No, before that.
What?
You won the dice roll?
Yeah. That was one of the only dice rolls I won all weekend, which was hilarious. So like I win the dice roll, I go turn one bell because I'm like, I don't know what I'm into. So like I would rather have the bell in play than not have the bell in play in the dark. And she goes, turn one Maleficent. So I'm like, cool, sail, fire the cannons. So that felt pretty great. And then my next round was red blue. I ended up 2-0-ing red blue as well. Super awesome opponent. Like that was probably my favorite match of the entire weekend. It was against Inkerbell. She's on Mo's team, I believe.
Okay.
She's on Mo's team. She was freaking awesome. Like really, really cool person. Like I made the movie The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made a ringer joke during our game and she actually got it. And like normally like most of my jokes flop because like I quote movies, like really obscure movie quotes, and like she got it and I was like, oh, like we're friends now. Like we're actually friends now.
Oh,
so
I
like
get to that's keep you.
If you yeah, want so, like, if you want to be on RB's good graces, just laugh when he makes a joke and he'll love you forever.
So we straight vibed. Like our games were so fun. Like we had an absolute blast. Like got to like meet her husband and like it was just such a really, really good time. And then round four, I pair into Luna, Ruben Souza, another homie. Like, I can't tell you, like, the number of calls I've been, you know, with Ruben. Really, really awesome dude. He's on 48 of the same 60 cards that Towel Man was on. And I was like, yeah, this is going to suck. So, like, yeah, I got hard crushed. I got O2'd by him. And, you know, it's round four. I'm 2-2. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to drop and just like support the homies. Like I went and vended off a bunch of extra stuff and picked up a bunch of enchanteds that I was missing. I went and hung out with Kendall Hale for a bit, like talked to him. I brought, get this. So I'm actually, I cannot wait till they come in.
You should let, no. Let it be a surprise.
No.
Let it be a surprise.
No.
He said no.
Okay. What I will say is I brought a playset of cold foil wave one befuddles. So if you've been living under a rock, this card is worth like $400 ungraded because they're the pre-errata and they're from wave one. If you grade them and it grades a 10, they're worth like $2,000 a piece. So I handed Kendall Hale $1,200 worth of foil befuddles, and he's going to be doing something really, really special for them that I'm super excited about. But because of the detail of what he's going to do to them, he had to take them with him. So at some point in the future, I will receive these cards back.
You hope.
And I will showcase. Yeah, I do hope. I will receive these cards back and I will showcase the magnificent work of Kendall Hale. Really awesome dude too. Like that, like brother, that was a cool dude.
I talked to him a little bit too. Like we were kind of hanging out and he's a really cool dude. It's really great when you see some of the like the community figures that are like tied to the game that you love. Just be an awesome person. Like it's really refreshing.
Yep. Speaking of someone else that was awesome, Mattified was at this event.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he was giving out playmats left and right. The playmat that he made for Maelstrom was fantastic.
Oh, don't worry, baby bird. I'll feed you.
Oh, here we go.
I was about to say, yo, let me go get my mat real fast.
Yeah, hold on. Dude.
Yeah, these mats are amazing.
So good.
Unreal.
And like when I went and got mine, he even was like, hey, Color is Law interacted on one of my things. Here's a playmat for her, too. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it was a surprise. I didn't tell anybody. Just let me know how she likes it. I was like, what?
Yeah, no, Mattified is a great person. every interaction I've had with him has, like, online and in person has been amazing. The fact that, like, he walked up during my round one, actually. So I'm playing my opponent. And he goes, hey, that's really nice, because I was using my Mufasa playmat that he gave me for my birthday. And actually, I think Daniel in the league, yeah, Daniel got it for me for my birthday. But, like, he made it and gave it to me. But he walks up, he's like, hey, that's a really nice playmat. And I was like, yeah, thanks. Mattified gave it to me. Like, Mattified Customs on Twitter. He's like, well, yeah, that's me. I made that. And I was like, oh, no way, awesome. And, like, we had, like, a cool, like, interaction. Sorry to my opponent. That interaction took a little while. He was, like, in the middle of his turn, and I just straight ignored him to talk to Mattified. But then he handed me that playmat, and I was like, ayo, hold on a second, sir. I'm going to have to, like, change out this playmat.
Yeah, oh, yeah, seriously. No, it's now my default playmat. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure. Easy.
Yeah, 100%. If you or, you know, if you're part of a team or you're just an individual and you want a really, really awesome playmat, I'm telling you, go to Twitter, check out Mattified. He's doing playmats for teams as well. Like, yeah. tell him that the Bald family sent you, and he'll give you guys a really good deal on it. Like, go. The dude deserves everything under the sun because he's an amazing human being and his work is second to none.
Absolutely. He said he's getting at one of the next big events he's going to, he's trying to, like, get a booth set up. He said, like, he's starting to get that process, but also he's just somebody who works a lot. Like, you know, he's just a blue collar guy that doesn't have a lot of spare time. Does this in his spare time, took PTO to finish the playmats for Charlie's. And he was like, it would be great if I could do this more. Right. Instead of having to do my main job. And I was like, brother, if we can help you get there, like, the demand is there.
The cool thing,
I promise,
is too, like, he just, like, gave Charlie a bunch of playmats to use for side events. And yeah, those playmats were gorgeous. There was, like, a Let It Go playmat. There was
a
Cinderella.
You donated, like, 30 playmats for the side events.
Yeah, it was insane.
For the prize,
like,
wall.
That donation worked because there were people hand over fist signing up for events for those playmats.
I mean, and that's on top of the ones he was, you know, he made for us. He made our team playmats and just, like, individuals that he had interacted with. I think Mo gave all of their team, I think, got one, Inkfinity. Mm-hmm. And those looked sick. Yeah, no, like, cannot shout him out enough. Like, just fantastic artwork, fantastic human. If we can, as a community, like, keep his demand up enough so he can, like, make that his career, like, that'd be awesome.
It would be great. So we kind of talked about day one. Let's talk about the 3K. Let's talk about day two. R&B, you already kind of mentioned that you did something blasphemous for yourself.
I did.
What did you do?
Well, I played Ruby Sapphire.
He said, so what, like, do Ruby cards feel like?
Yeah.
How did it feel?
There were definitely some games that were, like, absolutely non-games that I was like, I have 0% chance that I'm losing this game. Like, I, like, ended some games with, like, 14 cards in my hand. Like, I could remove the next 8 things that my opponent played. And I was like, yeah. Like I got to, like, one point where I just, like, showed the dude my hand. I was like, do you want to keep playing? And he was like, no. And I was like, yeah. I bet. I was like, there's a 0%. Like, it's just not fair. So, like, again, I pair into 2 homies. Like, I win round 1, easy sweep 2-0. I pair into Sasuke. And Sasuke's on blue seal, I'm on red blue. Sasuke wins the dice roll. Still 2-0.
Not a shocker.
Like, yeah. still 2-0'd him, but, like game 2, like, he didn't draw very well, but, like, it wouldn't have even mattered if he did, because, like, I banished all of his Hyrums and my Hyrums just lived. And, like,
that was the consensus, like, because, you know, him and I tested that matchup quite a bit when we were trying to figure out the last, you know, couple slots for the deck. We tested that match pretty extensively, and we quickly found out, remind you, once the Scrooges became Talas, the only way that he really, like, had a shot was if I brick and he draws pretty well. Like, if I can't out his board, because, like, my hand's all in inkables and I just fundamentally can't play the game, that's how blue steel wins in that matchup, because every other blue steel player I played against for the on this weekend, with the exception of my day 2, because I was not playing Ruby Sapphire, it was like, when I was playing Ruby Sapphire, the games weren't close, just straight up, like, and if I could play the game, they were losing. The same thing about my Ruby Sapphire mirror matches too. Like we were not playing sharks whatsoever. And every Ruby Sapphire deck I played against was on a shark, was on shark build. And if when they played shark, like I kind of recognized like, oh, okay, I'm going to win now. And that sounds a little cocky, but it's very true. I felt we were very well positioned into the shark matchup specifically. We were on, you know, the dragons. We did have like a lot more answers to kind of their bigger things. And like there was one match that I won where I won with 5 cards left in my deck. Thank God. I didn't want to have to think that hard. But yeah, my day 2 was not as fortuitous. For I played Mufasa and ran into Blue Steel for the first 4 rounds. And I did end up going X3, so I started 0-3. It was a 8-round event, so I finished 5-3. Before the tournament even started, I was like, I don't know, I probably should just play Ruby Sapphire. And RMB was the one that was like, follow your heart. No, play the deck you like. You love it.
And I said, no.
Yeah. And I listened to the wrong homie.
Wait, look, before the bracket started, he takes a coin and he goes, okay, this is what, I think it was Mo was next to me too when he did this. He's like, I'm going to flip a coin. Heads is for Mufasa. Tails is for Ruby Sapphire. He flips it, puts it on his hand, shakes it a little bit, and it's tails. And he goes, no, the gods are wrong. I'm playing Mufasa. And I was like,
the gods are
at
right.
At least I followed the coin flip because I was like last second. I was like, I'm just going to like cook up like Blue Steel Wheel and I'm just going to run that. And like I had all the homies around me. Like they were going to like help like write the deck list as I'm like building the deck. And like I flip a coin. I'm like, all right, heads it's Blue Steel Wheel. Tails it's Red Blue. It landed on tails. And I was like, all right, looks like I'm playing Rub.
So, well, I was a little skewed, right? Because you and I, Zenulos, played a set before, so I could try to decide if I wanted to actually play it.
Oh, yeah, and you two owed me.
Yeah, and then I played against Sasuke, who was on Blue Steel, and I was like, okay, well, if I can, this is like my perceived worst matchup, let's see if what I can do. And we played a 4-game set, and I won 3 games. The game that he did win was when he started turn 1 Bell into turn 2 2 Bells. With, you know, double song. I was like, cool, I'm dead. Would you like to know what my opponents did? Rounds 1 and 2.
They always had it, right?
So game 1, I like typically either won game 1 or I, you know, very almost barely lost game 1. Game 2, I would typically win. And then game 3, my Blue Steel opponents, both rounds, were just like a Popsicle Bell. Okay, I expect that. I'll play my card soldiers. Cool, Bell seeing strength. Play a Popsicle, play a Bell. Go. I was like, okay, play a Piglet. Okay, well, sing another song. Play a, like, or Teepo or something. And, like, next turn they would play a Scrooge and or hard cast the Zeus for my Gaston. And I was like, yeah, Mufasa's dead. Mufasa's dead, and it makes me sad. I started thinking that, and then I played against another Sapphire Steel that was not on a very optimized
in the
0-3 list.
Bracket, mind you. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's not skew our data here and be like, oh well, I rallied back and then beat 5 Blue Steel players that started out the day 0-3.
Yeah, no. Like I said, Mufasa's dead, but. I did play against another Blue Steel pilot round 4, which again, I was like, why are there so many Blue Steels in these, like, the for fun
Bald
bracket?
Army rise up.
And it's because Blue Steel is not good. And we should play it. But let me have this, Ryan. Shut up. However, so I managed to win a game against a Blue Steel player. So I was feeling kind of good. And like, I just like kind of swept all my opponents. From there on out, I played against 2 red blues. Like, I'm not so after round 3, I played against another Blue Steel, 2 red blues, a diggy diggy hole, and 3 red blues, and then like a diggy diggy hole were the rest of my matchups. So, like, we do have game, the deck does work. If you're willing to start 0-3, it works fine. If you're not, It is copium.
Hopium.
It's both. Hopium. It is both of those things. It's all the eums. So until set 8 comes out and we get something very powerful to kind of juice what we have going on already, I don't think the Mufasa deck, or at least in the Ruby variant, is able to kind of contend with all the free things that the Sapphire decks are doing right now. Like Ruby Sapphire was pretty free because they can't go Bell on one. And like, even if they do go Bell on one, like you don't care because they're not singing anything. They're like out your board. And like Lumiere plus Gaston is still very good into Ruby Sapphire early. But I think I'd rather just play one of the Sapphire decks because Sapphire is a pushed color right now. And it's like, just
push
play the powerful
understatement.
Thing. Just play the powerful thing.
Oh, push is an understatement. It's downright broken. Like, Bell should not
well
exist.
For me. Did Bell very well exist. For me all weekend. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it did great for me. I loved that deck. Like, Ruby Sapphire was very well positioned. And I felt at times very almost unbeatable. Like, if we had the ability to play the game.
Like, the only list that got me was Amethyst Steel, ironically, in my winning in for the day two. And he, like, I lost the die roll, and then he just had it all and played it really well. I mean, his first, like, he plays a Broom into a Diablo Chernabox Followers into a White Rose, and I'm just like, yeah, cool. That's awesome. Awesome. You play Broom, so Tipo can't actually trade into that thing, and it can turn sideways. You get another lore. Like, yeah, it's awesome. Cool. Love it. So, you know, not only did he just have it all, he navigated it really well and obviously knew how to play against the matchup. So, yeah, I got it. It was my only, like, bracket 2-0 of the weekend. And on top of that, like, variants finally caught up to me after 17 rounds.
Yeah. And then, like, thinking of the metagame breakdown, like, there was one blue steel in the top 8, and it was not a blue steel that you'd expect. It was a diggy diggy hole version of blue steel, which oddly enough we hadn't really seen before, which is pretty cool. So the traditional blue steel deck that Zan's kind of made popular and we were all dooming over for the first couple weeks.
Was never dooming over it.
Oh yeah, you know, you were feasting.
It had Oswald in it. Why am I dooming over anything with Oswald in it?
Well, no, you were excited because you were like, oh, yeah, my deck. It's so good now.
I was like, look at all my fun tools that I get to use now.
Yeah. But for a while, we were just like, man, this is so unfun. But like the Ruby Sapphire list we piloted was quite good. And Ruby Sapphire in general is just quite good. Like the Shark, ironically, I don't think Shark is very good. But I'm obviously like my perception is skewed because Shark
we say that and then it won the event. So.
Yeah, I mean, like,
won the event over the items list that we almost considered swapping.
To be fair, the items list did brick. Game 3, he did couldn't play the game. So, like, I mean, like, things like that happens. It's a TCG, there's variance. But like, I argue that if both decks were running optimally and like were able to kind of play the game at the pace and then in which the decks are designed to play. I do think the item variant kind of squeaks out a little bit ahead. But again, like,
Shark's like the one body that's problematic for the deck to deal with without exactly Dragon. Like seven strength is a lot of strength. Like you need to have two coils in play and still ink twice. Like, that's asking a lot. Like, having two coils in play plus inking twice to be able to answer it is, like, bad. Like, that's, like, I think the card's very, very good against, like, the traditional Sisu on Ice style deck. I think, like, Maui Shark is, like, the one character I was, like, I don't want to see, like, while I'm playing it, I was, like, I do not want to see that card. But, like, the way that my event ended, so, Round 3, I played against Kiwi Birds and your stupid one of Be Prep that you guys decided to put in the deck was my downfall. I played Be Prepared and my opponent slammed two manners and I was like, yes, yeah, sick. Like, I lose now. I just watched these manners I watch these manners tick up for like four turns in a row from 11. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like I just like lose off of the back of that because like I couldn't find the Cuscos. And then Logan and I pair the round after that. So we're like both 3-1 at that point. And we're like, what the hell do we do? Like, yeah. Do we draw? Do we not draw? Like, we ended up taking the draw, which, like, fine. We go into our next round, and of course, we're sitting right next to each other. He proceeds to, like, 2-0 his opponent, and I lost 1-2. So it ended my day. And the way that I lost was so freaking ridiculous, it wasn't even funny. So, like...
Spit, homie.
I lost the dice roll.
As is tradition, yes.
Yeah, if I didn't lose this dice roll, maybe there was a chance. Like, I don't even want to talk about game one. I don't want to talk about game two because game two, like, I curb stomped him. But game three, my opponent goes turn one daisy. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. Turn two piglet. Okay, cool. Turn three John Silver. Okay, like he's at seven lure already. Like,
oh, that John Silver.
He's,
okay.
No. This he played it on turn three. He's at seven lure just off of Daisy Piglet. Turn four, he goes Neverland Daisy. Quest for like eight or something like that, and he's at like somewhere between 16 and 18 lore on turn four, and like even if I could out his board, which I couldn't, I just lose to the two Neverlands in play anyways.
That's absurd.
That's ow.
It's like, wait, what?
So
meanwhile, my opponent like you got next. Got. No, he got. Whereas I played against the Ruby Sapphire here. He was on items, and our first game lasted like 40 minutes. It was insane.
Oh yeah, we were getting done with game two, and you guys were just finishing game one. I was like, is that game two? You guys going to game three? And you're like, nah, that's game one. I was like, ooh.
The way I won game one, he just drew like dime. Quill, Vitalisphere, and I quested with a baby Sisu and a Teepo to 20.
That's hilarious, actually.
And then game two, he bricked and couldn't play. I was on the draw, by the way. I lost the die roll as well. Game two, he just bricked to oblivion, couldn't get past 4 ink, and never saw a Hyrim or an item.
Yeah. That's like the roughest part about the mirror match is like, not only are your Hyrims, sacrifice to the gods because they're not gonna live if you don't find enough of them, you just lose.
Yeah,
which is very tough.
But then I do want to talk about my next round because I played this variant of Ambersteel twice, the glass slipper variant of Ambersteel. Okay. That was something I did not even remotely expect to see this weekend. And so I'm playing against the guy. He wins the die roll. And game one was really, really close. Like, all three games we played were very, very close. Game one, he gets to 13 lore and plays a Smee and a Lawrence. I have two big Sisus and a dime and a Tala. And I'm like, cool, I'll just win over the course of the next two turns because you're at 13 lore with two questers in play. You cannot win the game. I also didn't have anything that could clear either of his characters. I had a coil, but I didn't have a baby Sisu. I didn't have a brawl. I didn't have another shift Sisu. So I get to like 13 on that turn. I'm like, cool, I win next turn. And he looks at me, goes, I can't stop you. Play glass slipper, play the, I believe it's a 4-drop Cinderella that banishes the glass slipper, puts it under your deck, gain 3 lore. And I'm like,
yep.
What? And he goes, yeah, go to 20. And I'm like, what?
I just love that when your opponent just like plays something that you've deemed unplayable and you're just like,
I don't think anyone deemed it unplayable.
I didn't expect to see
I didn't expect it to be like
figured
out.
Talking unplayable as far as my standards go because I got by shifted Prince.
You don't play steel cards, so like
yeah.
It wasn't a steel card.
Steel is unplayable to you.
It was a green card that killed me. It was a card that shifted for 6.
That's the real crazy part. Shift
yeah,
for 6?
Brother.
What did he have the shift on?
The other Prince Philip.
Warded Prince Philip.
Yeah. He just never turned it sideways, so I couldn't deal with it. I was like, damn.
That man, had your number for like six turns.
The thing is, because I was bricked so hard, like I could not play the game. Like I said, it was just like four high cost uninkable cards. I'm going through the motions, draw ink, because like none of it's affecting the board state. And he just sits there with this Prince Philip mocking me, not even turning sideways. And I was like, finally, I was just like, I broke first. I was like, quest. And he was like, you've activated my trap card, idiot. And like, wiped my whole board. And I was like, got it. You got me. Like, when you know what you, if you've ever played any of the Hyrum shenanigans, you know, you are in dire straits when you were like, I'm about to play this dime and pop it to draw two cards.
Yeah.
I probably should have done that. It probably would have been the better play than the thing that I did, which was nothing. But yeah, neither here nor there. I'm not salty at all. I'm salty. I'm real salty, actually. I'm not gonna lie. So day two was actually a lot better. Like, I started 0-3. I had my doomer mentality of like, this deck can never see the light of day. Like it's on my to-do list to put it back in the binder where it belongs until set 8 or 9 comes out and gives me something decent and amber.
Fabled's gonna be your set. I don't think it's gonna be next set, because next set's all about Jafar. So like,
we got a lot of steals.
Yeah, Jafar Wheel's gonna be the deck next set. Like, I've already committed that to.
If that's the case, that might be the set that I play steal. Because Pete, I'm not playing Jafar Wheel. I'm just gonna look at my opponent and go Pete, and then pass the turn. It might be a Pete and repeat meta for me if everyone's on Jafar Wheel.
Yeah, Jafar Wheel ends up being good, then like. Pete will be the thing. But then exactly. You just like shove Pete into Sapphire Steel and you're just like, ah, yes.
You cool, I'm dead. Got it. You do not care about this card any longer. Which again was one of the things that I really enjoyed about our current list of Sapphire, of Ruby Sapphire.
Oh yeah, the amount of time somebody would play a Pete against me, I'd be like, cool, I have a coil on board, ink baby CC your thing. And they just look at me like, oh.
I got by exactly Pete one time, which was against the Diggy Diggy Hole player. In day two, where she had amassed an army, and I was like, I have a beat prep in my hand. I'm aggressively ramping to get it. She has no cards in hand. I ink to six, say go. She top decks a Doc. The Doc finds her a Pete, and she plays Pete. And I was like, this is my nightmare. This is how, this is not fun. This is not good for me. I get their game two, and then game three we had a really close game where I was able to like, I was so close to stabilizing, answering her board, and then like Lawrence came down, and ironically enough, like the only card in her list that I could not out at that point was exactly Lawrence, and I was just like, yeah, damn, if this baby Sisu would have been a brawl, everything would have been cool, but it wasn't, so I'm dead.
No, I got by Pete exactly once. It was against the Glass Slipper player in the side event in my round 7. He played it on a turn where I was trying to sing How Far I'll Go with Tala. And like, because I just worked through the turn in my head, like I exerted Tala, and he just kind of points at Pete, and I was like, unexert Tala. And he just kind of smiles at me. I'm like, yeah, cool. And then the next turn, he like top decks, or he draws for turn, and he goes, "How many cards are in your deck?" And I was like, "No." So I count. I have 7 cards exactly in my deck. And he like plays a. He like sings a storm, uses other characters to sing a storm, and like didn't find wheel. But that Pete bought him like the extra turn he needed to try to find the wheel to win the game. And I was like, "My nightmare is happening. Please no."
So while you guys were, you know, busy winning and having fun, I was in my for fun bracket. I think it was my round 4. It was like round 4 or 5. I think it was the same round where you two paired and you split. Or you drew.
I got checkers for all of us.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that was goated. Like, I didn't realize how hungry I was until I took a bite of that nourishing sandwich and I just started devouring it.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I hate checkers.
Yeah, No, it's like not great, but also like
it was
when you
so greasy, dude.
When
oh
you
my have, goodness!
When you haven't eaten in you know X amount
I
of
was
hours,
so hungry. The fries were good. The fries were really, really good. But that burger, man, was just like you might as well have just like lathered me up in Crisco and threw me down some Bisqueen because like that's what it felt like. It was like.
So like while I played my round, I won that round, and like the gentleman sitting next to me didn't have an opponent. He got stood up, as I like to say.
Yes, stood up.
So as you guys were like,
he got
you
left
check,
at the altar.
As you were like, you staying right here. I was like, well, yeah, I was gonna offer to play a game against you know this guy who didn't get to play because he was like, he said like I really just don't care about winning. I just want the reps. Like, I need to learn the deck. So I was like, yeah, I'll play you. My opponent gets up, like he scoots over. And all I had sleeved at the time was Mufasa. So I was like, I mean, like, I don't think you want reps against this specifically. He's like, well, you play whatever, I guess. You play that. I was like, well, I have Ruby Sapphire in my box. I just have to pull it out. He was like, yeah, I would love to play Emir. Like, I need to learn it. I had unsleeved that deck.
This dude's just over here, like, raw dogging unsleeved Ruby Sapphire.
I was.
I'm like, brother, what are you doing?
So like they like Zenulos and Ryan get back and they sit down and they're like, What are you doing? And I was like, playing a game. What are you talking about? He's like, There's no sleeves on your cards. He was like, I was like, yeah, I didn't want to re-sleeve. Like I didn't think I had time to like completely
Dad,
re-sleeve.
Play with no sleeves.
Yeah. Well,
just raw dogging $60 crabs, brother.
Right, dude?
Factual. Like... So like I eventually show RMB my hand and it's would you like to tell them what my hand was, RMB?
Yeah, it was 3 Sisus and a dime.
It was 4 Sisus and a dime.
No, you had 1 Sisu in play when you asked me.
Oh, no. The first time I showed you when you were, like, eating, it was 4 Sisus and a dime was my 5.
Oh, yeah, hand. I wasn't paying attention. I saw a Sisu in play, 3 in your hand and a dime. I was like, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. I ended up actually winning that. Like, I was able to win that game because, like...
You drew the second dime, too.
I only have one. I don't know how I drew a second one. I only played
cheating,
one.
Then. I could have swore you had like a diamond play and a diamond in your hand at one point. I was like, ooh.
No.
He saw just uninkables and he's like, oh yeah, it's just a dime because what else would the uninkable be?
No, like I managed to like squeak that game out because like I just was able to like stick the diamond play.
He bricked for like 3 turns in a row though. Like he drew like Tipo Fishbone Quill or something like that. And it was just like, yeah, dude, sick.
Like sometimes that's how you got to win sometimes, bro. Like you just like stick the dime and hope they don't have the removal for it. Because if he would have at any point he would have removed that dime, I was cooked. I was just dead to rights. So like I just went on this spree of like quest for 3, use dime, go. And he's like, out your Sisu. And I was like, play a Sisu, use dime, go. And I did that for like 4 turns. So that was really fun. So like getting to play against like other members of the community was like really fun. My next rounds were all like pretty chill people. Had a really good time. Played against another Blue Steel player. Had to bring you in because he was like, hey, tell me what I'm doing wrong.
It was one of my
like,
students, nonetheless.
Yeah,
oh, was it?
He asked
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like, I literally coached him like the week before CCS. He's like I didn't have time to like coach. And he's like, man, I really need it. So like I ended up meeting with him Wednesday night at like 10 p.m. and like did an hour coaching session with him because he's like, I need help with my list. Like I come from, you know, other card games. Like I've been playing this one since I think like the Ursula set. So he's like, I don't have as many reps like in this game as like some of the other big players in the game. Like I just need to like talk through some stuff, bounce some ideas off of you and like show you this list and like fix the list for this weekend. And he like shows me the list and it's kind of like a hodgepodge of like 3 of the different archetypal like decks that you can play in Sapphire Steel currently. And I was like, okay, well like we're gonna like take this part out. And like I was like, you have 2 major things that you're trying to do. You're either gonna do this or you're gonna do this. Which one do you want to do? And he's like, well, I want to do this. I'm like, all right. So like we make his list, send him on his way, you know, answer all the questions that he has. And Corey's like, hey man, come over here. I got this guy with a Blue Steel list. And I like come over and I like look at it. I'm like, it's the same hodgepodge from before. How did this happen?
Well, yeah. So like we played the game and like, I'm playing Mufasa. He like, he blows me out game 1 with like the 1 of grab your sword. So it's like, okay. But then, like, I like take the match, you know, kind of reverse sweep him. And he asked me, he's like, "Hey, are you like decent at deck building?" I was like, "I mean, like, I'd like to think I am." So he's like, "Help me." So like, I lay out this list, and I'm like, I'm making all the cuts that you would have made, Ryan. But he's asking me why I'm doing that, and I'm like, "These cards are bad. I don't know." Like, yeah. So I was just like, "Ryan, please." Like, he's asking questions that I don't have the answer. Like, I know I'm getting the right answer. I just don't know how I'm getting the right answer. Please, please explain to this gentleman the why instead of like the just like the end result. So then, like, we like swap places, and you like essentially did the same thing you had done a week ago. But like, he was a really cool guy. I really, really,
Yeah, but no, it wasn't the exact same thing, 'cause like we included some things that I obviously like took knowledge from the weekend and like made some additional adjustments to the list and was like, yeah, like I have a list now. It's actually right there. I'm looking at it right there. I have like a Blue Steel list post CCS now that we have a better, like, this is the first real tournament we've played for the new set.
First, yeah.
Yeah, this is the first one. So like, you don't know until you know. You don't know until you do it. Like, I now know what my deficiencies were, the things that I was missing, the things that I got by locations. I got by like willpower. I got by not having enough unanswerable threats. Like, you know what the biggest thing that's missing from Blue Steel decks right now in a red blue world?
Brawl.
You know, it's the one card, huh?
Brawl.
No, not Brawl. I could care less how many cards you draw. No.
No.
Was it
No.
Kuzco?
No.
Okay, then just stop blue balling me and tell
Ariel.
them. Yeah,
Yeah,
Ariel.
yeah.
Yeah. Like, all the Blue Steel decks are just like not running Ariel anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm the idiot because, yeah, I was looking at these lists and I was like, why aren't we just playing Ariel again? And you're like, well, it's because it's dumb and you're fat. I was like, okay.
Both true statements. But like,
He
no,
said, actually.
like the more games that I've played against like red blue, like I can absolutely like just skill diff, you know, most red blue players. But like a good red blue player, I'm not skill diffing. Like, your deck beats my deck because I don't have Ariel in it. And like, I'm just playing Ariels again. Like,
Yeah,
I'm still
we
playing
played.
all four crabs, but I'm also playing Ariels. Like, I just have.
If Ruby Sapphire is going, or any Ruby deck for that matter, starting to move away from be
Be prep.
prepared, Ariel is very good.
Yeah, but even when it
Ariel.
had B prep in the deck, like our game plan was to like Ariel Pete. Cool, you can't answer it. Slam dime, 10 ball you. Like, and
Yeah,
that's the
because
way that I
like.
won the majority of my red blue matchups, like in previous iterations of Blue Steel in previous sets. Like, I did not have a problem with red blue until this set, and it's because I took Ariel out of the deck.
And
Yeah, like
also,
we played Friday night of the set, and like we went to game three, but I ended up winning. But it was just because I was able to just kill everything on your board.
exactly.
And
I'd argue at this point too, like it's going to be more than just the aerial, right? Like it's not just about the B prep, because this iteration of Ruby Sapphire is more character heavy than other iterations of Ruby Sapphire has been. Like, so we're not wiping our own board anymore with the B prep. Like, we're just trying to wipe yours altogether with a Sisu with a Sisu dime or Sisu coil. So we're just actually being a little bit more aggressive than previous iterations of the deck has been.
You
And
know how much more
that
Teepos got me with Ruby Sapphire? Bro, I had Teepos that were the little Teepos that could. I had a Teepo in one game that gave me like six lore. I'm like, bro, this card's cracked. Like, this Teepo,
dog.
this Teepo was a little engine that could just like turn it sideways every single turn. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah, dude. When I played against that item version, I told you, like, it was my baby Sisu and Teepo that quested to 20. Like, I was at 10 when I started, and he's dead drew items. I'm like, cool, little guys,
Man,
let's go.
so fun fact, items don't win you the game.
Well,
Lucky
it
dime
can.
is an item that wins you the game. The
Yeah,
items
yeah.
don't.
To be fair, he had two lucky dimes on the board. So had any of his top decks been Tamatoa 8, I lost. But in the meantime, my little dudes were going for it.
Yes.
Like, much like the title of Logan Schneider's Red Blue deck, we dime to save time. Like, that's the only reason we're playing dime right now, is like solely for the purpose of like saving some time so we don't end up going to time in like the red blue matchups. Like,
Tama
Yeah,
Toa
factual.
six,
I
basically.
mean, yeah. Like, I did that to a few opponents this weekend. Like, the blue steel players, like the moment the Ruby Sapphire player resolved a Tama Toa, if you didn't have exactly Zeus, you lost. Like, that's straight up how it went, is like, they just lost. Because I would put a dime into play, throw down a crab, and just like, cool, I'm at like 17, go. And like, their board is empty because I'm just like, oh yeah, ink a card, coil your guy, and like, brawl it. Like, nice.
Yeah, so ban coil. That's like the answer.
Coil
cannot. I'm telling you, there's so many problem cards in this game right now, and all of them are Sapphire. Like,
yeah, they all came out this set.
They're
yeah.
literally just all into, like, coil should be a 3-cost uninkable, and it happens once per turn. Fight me. Like, it, then it would be on par with all the other coils in the set.
Belle shouldn't be able to sing.
Belle shouldn't exist. Belle should have either been a 3-2, or it should have been a 2-drop, so it can't sing Storm and...
But you can't make a 2-drop 3. You can't make a 2-drop 3-3.
Why? We have Snake. We have Raja. Yeah. We have Mr. Smee. Like,
there's plenty of 2-drops.
We have Razul.
Because they all have fallbacks. Smee kills himself. And all the other ones, like, they have Challenger. They're not just like a static 3-3.
So it's just a little bit better 2-drop. Cool. Like, we already have the stat line at 2. It's not. It's only questing for 1. Belle needs to, like, not. Like, and this is coming from the person that, like, I will play Belle for as long as this card is legal to be played, because the card's busted. The card's just absolutely
cards
absurd. But, like, I genuinely do not think that the card should even exist. Like, yeah. I think that, like, it creates really unhealthy gameplay patterns.
Like, the meta game, or meta share for the top 8 of this event was just, like, 4 Ruby Sapphire decks, and 3 of those Ruby Sapphire decks made it to finals, or made it to the top 4. Like,
yeah, because Sapphire Coil is the most obnoxious card that's ever come to Disney Lorcana since Diablo.
Leave my Coil alone.
No, I'm telling you right now, like, Coil can't... Like, here's the thing. Ruby removal has always been restricted by strength-based, like, keywords. Always. Like, Coil just turned every single Ruby card that... had a strength-based restriction into Dragon Fire, and that's not okay for the game.
I did, in fact, Baby Sisu a Shift Cinderella on a...
Yeah, it's just
turn,
actually
so.
Not okay.
I Baby Sisu'd a shark, and that felt really good. I will say that on face value, the coil is busted, right? Like, there are some times where there are some restrictions where you just can't ink. You can't get multiple activations. I will agree with you that the card is bannable at this point after playing that card.
Not
with...
bannable, just errata. Give it the Bucky treatment. 3-cost uninkable once per turn.
Sure, whatever.
Even if you made it once per turn,
whatever you want to call
still
it,
still a good card.
Whatever you want to
call
it,
it'd be good. But
I fully realized how broken that card was along the side of Great Stone Dragon.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
Great Stone was
powerhouse. That 2-card combo was absurd all weekend.
Shout out to Tamaz.
Yeah. By the way, Tamaz, I need another one signed by you. You only have 1.
He almost didn't play 2 because he doesn't have a second one signed by you.
Yeah, I almost had to, like, restructure the entire deck to take out all the signed cards, because if I only had to play 1, I couldn't play them all. OCD is a powerful thing, man. I'm sorry. But yeah, so, like, the top 8 breakdown from CCS was, like, kind of what we expected going into it after we had been testing Ruby Sapphire these last 2 weeks. Especially Ruby Sapphire into blue, like the Sapphire Steel matchup was just so favored for Ruby Sapphire in a lot of positions that, like, I don't think anyone was surprised by Ruby Sapphire, like, eking out the blue steel matchup.
Yeah, especially after I got back from Baltimore, because I just got absolutely I went 1-5 in Baltimore with Amethyst Steel, thinking, oh, this is compete. And I came home, I believe it was, I messaged RMB, and I was like, if I try to play something that's not Sapphire again this set, snatch me up.
Yeah, I had to go through it. Like I said, I played Mufasa in day 2, trying to have some fun, trying to enjoy myself. And my 3 Belles, I'm like, sick.
Yeah, dude, like somebody messaged me as I was like doing my results thread on X, and they were like, oh, I thought you were I Am at the Steel this weekend. I was rooting for you. And I was like, I tried. So hard, dude. I really did. I wanted to believe. I took it to an event. I'm not getting ranched again like that. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah.
I had one opponent do something that I was like, ooh, that was kind of hot. One of my opponents goes turn 1. They were on the play. Turn 1 Popsicle. Banish it, play bell. Like, okay, cool. Turn to Sing Friends on the other side. I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah, that's hot.
Inks a card, plays Sail the Azurite Sea. Inks another card, plays Turn a Box Followers. And I was like, oh, I'm in danger. I'm in danger. Yeah, so like I go Teepo. So like I went turn one Popsicle, turn two Teepo, turn three, like turn three, they go Goat. And I'm like, okay, like this could have been a lot worse. Turn three, I go Hyrum, draw two. Turn four, they go Elsa. Tap your Hyrum, Goat Elsa challenge Hyrum. I was like, I lose the game now, and I did in fact lose that game. But oh, then I no. cracked. I cracked back and got. I got the reverse sweep.
Yeah, Blurpool is in like a weirdly
attractive space.
Yeah, like it's,
yeah.
It's like
the problem is there's not a purple one drop item that I'm like jazzed to play.
No, not at all. And I don't really want to play any of the other one drop blue items.
Oh, I do.
Scepter of Arendelle, we know.
Yeah. That's what they were on. They were on two Scepter, four pop. And that was their only items. No Hyrum in the deck. Because obviously you have like Rabbit.
You have Genie. Been walking around the server like, you know, one of those like those doomsayers like in like a post apocalyptic television where they have like the sign on like, the end is coming. The end is. That's been you with a Sphere Arendelle. You're like, this card is going to be so good. I'm telling you guys, it's going to be amazing. It's,
like, oh, it just gives something support for free. Like,
here you go, chat.
I'm getting got by X4 locations, like Neverlands and ferry ships. Like, man, what if like I could just like Scepter of Arendelle, my Mr. Smee, quest for two, give Teepo plus three, challenge your stupid one-drop location. Like
you are looking at locations the same way I look at Pete. Like, I kept playing Mufasa.
I hate him, man. I can't stand him, dude.
I hate Pete. Like,
I love Pete. That card's great.
I keep playing Mufasa because it's the only deck where you play Pete. I'm like, don't care. Like, one of the Sapphire Steel opponents I played played Gantu into Pete, and I was like, yeah, none of that works on me, buddy.
Yeah, that's real cute. Oil Brawl.
Yeah, one of the Steel Song players I played against, I like ended up winning the game because he was like, Daisy, swing, and I was like, draw a card. And he was like, Daisy, swing again. I was like, draw a card. Like, he's like, damn, you're really like not missing. I was like, it's 60 characters, brother. Like, it's I'm not killing your thing ever. I was like, cool. And like after he realized that it was 60 characters, like he played Daisy on one and then it just never turned sideways. I was like, okay, sick.
Nice one for a nerd.
Yeah, so like I kind of know where I want Mufasa to go. Like I'm not gonna play it
back into the binder, right?
Yeah, no,
he's,
yeah.
Straight
yeah,
back
it's,
into
it's
your
going
box.
Back in the binder, but I am gonna keep working on it just because.
No, you're not. Not this set.
Leave me alone.
Not this set.
Let me cope.
Not this.
No,
set.
I want you to actually win, and instead
win what?
Anything you go to.
Yeah, if it's all local set champs, I'll do whatever I want.
Dog, I'm going to. I have two events this weekend, and then there's like a 4 or 6 case in Baltimore. I'm going to with Garrick. You guys have SSG on the 5th.
We're not going to that.
I am.
I'm not going to that. I don't want to travel for that anymore. I just don't want to play this format. Like, this format's kind of not fun.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, like, but I don't want my fun to be predicated off my ability to play one deck. I want to be able to like play other things.
So,
which
like,
is,
so
I'm very
is this
important.
Coming from the dude's like, I don't want to play anything else. I'll just Mufasa. You just negated your own freaking sentiment. Like,
so,
I hate this game. I can't play Mufasa. My deck's not good anymore.
Yeah, that's
ironically,
what I mean.
Unironically, there are a lot of decks that you can play at events and do
yeah,
it.
Ruby Sapphire.
I mean, no. Like,
not just Ruby Sapphire. There's a ton of Amber Steel decks that are like really, really good right now. Amethyst Emerald deck that's like spiking all over the place. It's like Amethyst Emerald discard Diablo nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I had that. I actually built that last set, much to Xenulos's intrigue.
I loved it so much. It was all birds, dude.
Yeah.
I hated it. He built it and he's like, play me. And I was like, cool, thinking like we're gonna play some like fun games. And he's just like, you discard all your cards. I draw all of the cards. And I was like, I don't want to play anymore right now.
Mom!
Bob! Corey's bullying me.
Yeah, I was, which was the fun part. But I might mess around with some other decks. I might try that Trainer Dogs deck because
Amber Emerald Trainer Dogs is like it's
dude.
And unironically, self mill like under
self mill is my jam. I love self mill.
I like it when we have like a Narc Amoeba.
I would love a Narc Amoeba.
Or a Creeping Chill. Imagine a Creeping Chill that like you mill it, you just gain 3 lore.
Imagine my opponent plays Pete and I mill it and I'm just like, cool, sick.
Gain 3 lore?
No, you wouldn't activate it.
What do you mean?
Playing this.
It just happens from milling it. You just gain 3 lore from it being milled.
Yeah, but you know Ravensburg would probably put some clause on it like, oh, you can play this card for free if it went from your deck to your discard pile.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. We have Glass Slipper. You just gain 3 lore.
I have to look through the cards I have and see if I have double Glass Slipper and some Cinderellas, and maybe I'll just build like some weird Churn a Dog deck with alternate Win Con Mufasa shenanigans. I don't know.
I did play against a Mufasa Amber Steel, and like brother, I almost got. She flipped a Perdita off
that
of
card
a Mufasa.
Is so good. So like. I say this every set. I've said it every set since Pete got released, that every set that comes out whittles away my determination to not play Steel. Because the Perdita into Doc tickles the part of my brain so much that I... Because, like, there was a version of the Mufasa
deck. Flip Perdita, gets back Doc, draw 2 cards. Yeah, there you go.
She got back Daisy, which I also thought was just like, okay, cool.
Well, there was the Ruby Fossa list that I was playing back in like when Stitch was the set champs, or like the first iteration of set champs. That card was getting back like Baby Lady Tremaine and like the Rush Stitch and Piglet. And it was like, Perdita's great. But then your opponent's just like Big Sisu and you're like, Perdita's no longer good. Perdita is catching strays. Yeah, I might change my mind about SSG. I just don't.
Yeah, dude, come with me, man. I don't want to go alone.
Weren't coming down to Florida, it's on the 5th. If I weren't coming down to Florida for Easter weekend, I would be coming, but I can't make 2 trips.
It's not
to
this
Florida
weekend, it's
month.
Next weekend.
Yep.
I'll give you a solid possible.
Rachel already gave me the go ahead, so.
Oh, I got to talk to mine as well. So just because yours said yes doesn't mean mine will.
I mean, I'm going regardless of whether you're going or not. I would just that you did go.
Connor is going. You'll have a friend.
Yeah.
I'll see. I'll see what I can do.
Oh, and Melissa and Ben from TFM, they're going to be there.
Okay.
Yep. So is Liam from Lumeteers.
every time I try to take a break, you're like, nah, keep playing this game with me. Please come to this event.
Oh, I'm sorry I offended you with my friendship.
I'm gonna kind of test some decks out. Like, I know we have ICL coming up this week as well, so like I know I'm gonna play something spicy in that. I just don't know what flavor of spice I'm gonna be doing.
Speaking of ICL, hey Ed, I'm gonna be in slot 3. Let's go.
Heard it here first. The call out. Are you gonna?
You need to do it again on Twitter.
You do.
I probably do.
I'm hoping.
He didn't even respond the first time, so
yeah, I'm hoping for some salty run back.
We'll make more noise about it this time.
Bet.
But again, shout out Charlie's. Like even out when we weren't playing, like the venue was just cracked. There's so many cool stores. There's so many just cool different things around there. Like their little snack shop is just like grows every time we go. I got some cracked Japanese Kit Kats.
Were very, very good.
They were red velvet Kit Kats. They were so good. They had like milk chocolate orange that I almost like got too, but like red velvet over everything. I remember I was like looking at the stuff and like Luca was standing there because he like and got a bag of Doritos. I was like, hey Luca, what flavor Doritos are these? He's like, I don't know. I can't read Japanese. I was like, then why'd you pick him up? He's like, I don't know. It had like cheese on it. And he just like picked him up and walked down and paid for him. I was like, it's got cheese on it. So I picked him up as well. So like, yeah, like definitely Charlie, shout out Charlie's, always running good events. I know, I think they're going to have another 8K coming in June. And if tradition continues, it's not going to stay in 8K. It's only going to go higher. So we might be making the trip back in June to Charlie's again.
I'll be making the trip.
For sure. But anyway, that's going to be our time. That was our Charlie's weekend recap. Thank you for all the Stormies coming by and listening to us again. We're still workshopping the name.
Stormies, I like that. That was kind of cute. Yeah,
we're still workshopping the name, but like I'm keeping Stormies until someone tells me otherwise. Other than that, you have me, Humble, the ever-faithful Moof player that is no longer playing Mufasa for the foreseeable future. We have Disney Larkana sweetheart Zenulos, Mr. Amazing himself. And we have the bald one, the chosen bald, whatever you want to call it, a.k.a. No hair, don't care, R&B.
Bald signing hair, off. Don't care.
No hair, don't care. Bald hair, don't care. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Not same you. But we're going to be signing off. We'll catch us next time on the next episode of the podcast, as will Zenulos will be my ever faithful co-host once again. Love you guys. Say it back.